And over the last few weeks, we've looked at grace and the whole theme of grace. I went away to work on a holiday camp 2 weeks ago, and the sermon on the Tuesday night, absolutely amazing sermon on the Tuesday night by Colin Dye of Kensington Temple, who came to speak to us. And the theme of the whole week's camp was zeal for God, having zeal for God. That was the theme of our camp meetings. But Colin Dye came and spoke to us on grace, because he said, unless you understand grace and know grace, you never have any zeal for God. But when you know grace, when you know what grace is, he said this in his sermon. I'm already sidetracked. But he said this in his sermon. He said I was going to say his wife's 30th anniversary, but I guess it must be his as well. Yes. Anybody tell me what a 30th anniversary is? Well done. Well, who said Pearl? Well, you're right. And so, let me tell you, Colin Dye said he was in the Mauritia. Is Mauritia a place? Well, even her. And he was there. And he found this beautiful pearl. Beautiful pearl. And he said, listen, it doesn't matter how much it costs, I'm going to buy that for my wife. And so he was told the price, and he had his flexible friend with him, and he was able to pay it. And he went back home, and the short story of this version, and he said to his wife, happy anniversary, and he gave her this pearl. He said, how do you think I would have felt if she'd said, well, could I give you £10 towards that? As he said to his wife, that pearl is beyond price in many senses. It was my love gift to you. You see, he would have feel cheated if she'd wanted to contribute towards that pearl. Because that pearl was given by someone who wanted to show his love. And all he wanted that person to do was to receive that. It would have cheapened that pearl had someone given money to it. And that's what we do with God's grace. We cheapen God's grace by thinking that we can do something towards it. God says, I love you. And I've sent Jesus freely. Jesus is a pearl. And God has given us this precious pearl. But we've got this thing in our mind that we've got to do something about it. We've got to try and work and please him and do something that will accept that we can do part of this gift. And God is saying, you have cheapened grace. Grace is given simply because the giver wants to give. And hopefully the receiver wants to receive. That is grace. That is grace. And we're going to look finally at, because what we said at our first sermon on grace was, this is the most important thing. Everybody wants to improve their image. And we live in a world where beauty stands for everything. In a world where reaching the top in business stands for everything. And God is saying, I love Abby just the way she is. She doesn't have to have plastic surgery. I love her just the way she is. She doesn't have to improve her image for me to love her. But so many of us want to improve our image of God's acceptance of us. When God says, I love you because I love you. Because I love you. Because I love you. And we look at the world standards. And the book of Daniel, which we heard about last week. In Daniel chapter 1, the first thing that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do to Daniel was to change his name. Change his identity. Change his education. Change his culture. He wanted to buy him. He wanted his image to be improved to become the image of the Babylonians. Thank God Daniel always maintained the image of his Father in heaven. We don't have to improve our image in the sense of worldly acceptance we are accepted. Because a fact of life is that every human being does struggle with self-worth and acceptance. And there is a real need to feel to belong, to be accepted. I'm not saying that is wrong. There is a need to feel to be belong and accepted. There is, we should feel valued. It's where we get our acceptance and our belonging from that counts, isn't it? Every one of us should have that. Everyone should want to have self-worth and acceptance. Every one of us should want to belong and feel accepted. But it's where we want to feel belonged and accepted that counts. And if improving our image because of what the world thinks of us and what the world wants to shape us. Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. Don't let the world shape you into the image that it wants to portray, because that's not the image your Father in heaven wants you to portray. If you want to betray your self-image and get it, this is what the Father says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That is the image. If you want to have an image, that is the image. And we learned on the second week of grace that you can't earn grace. Nobody in this room will ever earn grace. You can work your socks off, but you will never earn grace. Because somebody else earned it for you. And we learned the third thing is, you must choose to accept it. That is your only acceptance, is to accept. I am who I am. John Bunyan was standing watching people being hung in Bedford. He was watching people being hung in Bedford. And someone came and said to him about these people who were being hung. And he turned to the guy and he said, but by the grace of God go I. We are all of no value if we're going to consider ourselves in the image. Well, that's not the value that God has put on us. God has put a different value on us. And forgiveness needs to be accepted, as we found out. And finally, how do I accept God's grace? I confess that I need God's grace. I confess that I am a sinner. I confess that I do need a Savior. I repent and say, with your help, God, I'm going to change, because I'll only change with God's help. Don't delude yourself. You'll never change because you will change. You can only change with the grace of God. But you accept that. You accept the fact that with God's grace, you will not go the way you used to go. And you will believe that in God's grace, you can achieve that. And therefore you ask to receive, knowing and believing that the moment you ask, something is going to change. Something is going to happen. Because knowing and believing are entirely different. I can know something but not believe it. But believing means, not only do I know it, I inherently accept that what I know is true. And that's what faith is. And we looked at that. And then finally, we looked at last time the three steps to victory over the old self. Because even though I'm a Christian, even though Dennis and Pam Brown have come to know Jesus, they are very much still Dennis and Pam Brown. They are working out what we call working out their salvation. Now, they've received Jesus and their life has been changed day by day. That's what we mean working out, working it out. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we are working out because we want to gain God's acceptance. It's not. It's the reverse. It is because God has accepted us. He's now working out something in our lives. Hallelujah. And as long as I live on planet Earth, I will never be perfect. But I will always try and maintain and achieve that perfection. Because step one says, I know that Christ died for me. That is a fact. That's not a knowledge, that happens to be a fact. It's a belief in my heart. Step two means I reckon what you're going to talk about now. And that's based on Romans 6:11, which we're going to look at. And the third step is based on that I will yield myself daily to Jesus Christ, that he might be able to change me. And those three steps are the steps to getting rid of this self-image and portraying yourself the way that God portrays you. To sum it up, some of us are still sin conscious when we should be more Savior conscious. We dwell on sin more than we dwell on the Savior. We dwell on waking up thinking that today is going to be another day where I might just trip up and sin, when we should be focusing on the fact that this is a new day, for I am a new creation. I am a new creation. I am not the old person. That died. And we're going to speak about that this morning. How many of us should be waking up, worshipping God because we are Savior conscious. Savior conscious. It doesn't mean to say we won't sin. It means if we do sin, we get back on the pathway with God and we repent and we say sorry and we move on. But we are Savior conscious throughout the day. We know that we now walk in victory. We now know we have something inside us called the Holy Spirit, an inherent power that takes us on a new journey in life. I am a new creation. And it's two verses of Scripture. And I want to read them to you. They're there in that format because I want to read them to you. I want you to get to understand how you can be Savior conscious this morning. And I've already read that verse out. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Let's be a Dalek. I am a Dalek. No. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Say it with me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm new. You won't have me in a shop window, if I was a dolly in the shop window or whatever you call them, saying 50% off, old stock going away. I am new. I'll never be in a shop window with that tag on, 50% off. Getting rid of old stock. I am new. Morning, evening, tomorrow morning, I will say, I am a new creation. I don't have to live in the past because it says all things have passed away. All things have become new. All, what does the word all mean? It means everything in my life now is new. That's how God looks at me this morning. It's how God looks at you this morning. He looks at you as a new creation this morning. We need to buy into this. You know, we need to seriously start looking at the meeting this morning, considering what's been said this morning, and start buying into what God has said. And stop leaving the lies of the enemy. What you used to be is past and gone. What you are now is new in Christ. And I'll tell you why. Because it says, now all things of God, He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. I am reconciled today through Jesus. I'm reconciled. The first verse is, I'm a new creation, which you should say every morning. The second thing you should say every morning is this: for He who made Him knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I am righteous. Amen. Tomorrow I'm a new creation and I am righteous in God. That's grace. I am not righteous in myself. I'm righteousness in God. And that's why I can't be lost. That's why there can never be a time when I will never be saved. Because I am in Christ. Christ has reconciled us in Himself. Now the only way you can stop having grace, Irene, is if Jesus Christ comes back to earth and sins. That is your only way that you can be out of Christ. And I'll tell you now, that ain't going to happen. Because He's never coming back to earth again except for the second advent. And before that, you and I will have been raptured in the parousa. That's why I'm saved today and saved forever. That's why I can't be lost, because I have been reconciled in Christ. So two things tomorrow morning. I'm a new creation and I am in Christ. My grace isn't in me. My grace is in Jesus. Oh, if we're going to only catch this and bottle it. Seriously. I put some brut on today because I couldn't find my other one, so I was splashing the brut on. But I'll tell you what, we need to splash grace on. We need to open the bottle of Chanel grace and throw it over us this morning. Because you are reconciled in Christ. You can't be reconciled out of Him. You're in Him. You're in Him. You're in Him this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, the three things that we need to know as we finish. And that's our relationship with God. And so many are struggling. So many people think they're unworthy. So many people think they have no value. So many people have got hang-ups on themselves, which the enemy is feeding on, which they are being deceived, and which some people even take comfort over. And God says, I don't buy into that garbage. You are new. Not supposed to be new. You are new. I dealt with that self-image a long time ago with Calvary. I got rid of it. And you are in Christ this morning. Every single day of your life. Because you have a relationship with God. So how do I finish this theme of grace? Because Romans chapter 6 gives us two questions we talked about. I'm not going to talk about it again. One's the imperative and one is the indicative. And it's called the two questions. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. And the other one question is further on in Romans. Shall I have sin because grace is much more abounding? And Paul again says no. How do I see my relationship? And this is the first one. Do you know? I want to ask you, do you know grace this morning? Do you really sit there and tell me you know grace? Because let's go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 3, 6 and 9, Paul says you cannot continue in sin. Why? Because he uses the word baptizio. Now the word baptizio means an identification. Paul is saying you identified yourself the day you came to know Jesus as being in Christ. The word baptizio means death. You are new. So the old is dead, he says. Listen, verses 2, verses 3, verses 4, verses 5, verses 7, verses 8, verses 9, verses 10, verses 11, verses 23. But alive in Christ. You are dead. But now you are alive in Christ. You have a new identity. Hence the word baptizio. Baptizio, baptizio, baptizio. You have a new identity. In Paul's day, ladies used to get garments and they used to change the color of the garments. They used to dye their garments. That's where this word comes from. And they would change the color of the garment. That's where the word baptizio comes. It was from that word of dye, where they used to get the cloth and they used to have it purple. And we saw three lovely ladies with green hair, purple hair and black hair. We've lost the two this week. But I had a photograph taken with the girl last week with the green hair, because for raising money for the funds, I'm going to have green hair. And my wife's still putting her hands up like this. But by grace, I will get there. And I'll be raising money for funds. Okay, so mine's green. Rob is laughing, but his is red. And in the end of the day, what? Oh, sorry. Right. I think what we should do is have a transplant for David. We're Mohican. Let's do a Mohican for David. But listen, what will happen if I do get a red hair? A green hair. Something will have changed. Won't it? This silver hair, not grey, silver hair, will have changed. The word baptizio. Eunice, you've changed. You were once dead in your sin. You are new, alive in Christ. The first thing about, wonderful thing about grace is, do you know it? No, come on, do you know it? Not up here. Do you know it in here? Seriously, do you walk down the street to say, I am a new creation? Eh? Let's all sing that down the street at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Let's shake the community. Eh? But some of us have been saved, but still are living in the old way of life because we've never recognized that we are a new creation. And I know you're saying, but I still do things that are wrong. And of course you will. But that's not how God looks at you. God looks at you today as not a sinner saved by grace. He looks at you as a saint kept by grace. He looks at people who don't know Jesus yet as sinners. He cannot look at you this morning and have the word sin anywhere near him, because you have been saved by grace. I don't understand it, but I know it. Really, I'm saved. Jesus Christ cannot ever say now, "Sinner Eddie." He has to say, "Saved Eddie." Because I am in Christ Jesus. There's the two verses. I'm a new creation. I'm in Christ Jesus. Listen, they say that dead men can't talk. That's what they say, don't they? I want to tell you that dead men can't walk either. I've yet to see a dead man walk. Have you? Yes, some of us are still walking in our old way of life. Now, come on. Come on. Some of us are still walking in our old way of life. Dead men can't walk. Some of us talk so much filthy communication out of our mouth, I wonder where else we are in the grace of God. Because, listen, dead men don't talk. Our conversation of the filth has to go. I'm sorry, it has to go. Paul said, "Let there be no filthy communication come out of your mouth." That's why we're getting problems with the old way of life, because we're still sitting in the old way of life when Jesus says, "I can't even look at you like that because you're not in the old way of life. You are a new creation." Do you know it? I'm giving you the verses. You see, Rasputin, 5 to 12, I'm going to have to fly on with this. But Rasputin did that. He took as many lovers as he possibly could, because he thought where grace abounded more than sin abounded, he could just carry on sinning and God will forgive him and it'll show that grace is much more better than sin. That isn't grace. The Corinthian church did the same. They used to come to communion and get half stoned. And Paul said to them, "Do you know why some of you have died? Because you've abused grace." You cannot abuse grace. Paul said, "Your old life is dead. Stop it. Stop it. With God's grace, I must press on." But if you don't know you're saved, if you don't reckon every morning that you are a new creation, and that it doesn't matter what happens to you tomorrow morning, you will always be in Christ. You will be in Christ whether you're standing here or we go walking down to Erdington. In fact, if all of us start working down to Erdington now, Erdington will be full of the Holy Spirit. Because everywhere you go, Claudette, Jesus Christ goes. Everywhere. Everywhere. That's why we can be a light to the world. Because everywhere we go, that's where Jesus is. I am a new creation. The second thing is consider. Now, the second word consider is a mathematical term, said Paul. It's the Greek, it's a mathematical term. Consider means an account. An account. If I have £15 in my pocket, I cannot say to Curtis, "I'll give you £16. Why? Because I only have £15 in my pocket. It's an absolute fact. Consider that. It's an account, in fact. If I go to the bank and I give the woman to my bank and say, "Could you put it in my bank account? There's £16. And she says, "No, there's only 15. I'll say, "That doesn't matter. Put 16 down. I bet she doesn't do it. What'll she want, will she? She'll say, "I'm sorry, I can't." Now, if I take my £15 and I go to China and I say to the Chinese woman in Barclays Bank, "There's £15, make it 16. Will she say, "Okay, I'll say 16 because you're in China"? No. And I can go to India, I can go to God's lovely holy city of Sunderland, and I can bank it in there, and it will still be the same. The people, even people in Sunderland can count, and they too will say, I'm sorry, Edward, I can't give you £16 on the account because you've only got..." It's a mathematical certainty. Throughout the whole world, it's a mathematical certainty that if I've got £16, I've got £16. It's a mathematical certainty that if I've got £8 in this hand and £8 in this hand, Curtis, I've still got 16. Haven't I? But Jesus is saying, consider yourself in Romans 6, you're born again. It's a mathematical certainty. Whether you're in China, whether you're in Italy, whether you're in France, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, you're saved. Consider it. It's a mathematical certainty, Irene, you're going to heaven. It's a banker. Don't walk up one thing, if I do this for God today, just let me into the pearly gates. Kick that garbage out. You are going into the pearly gates. Just don't lock them behind because I'm a few years younger. But it's a certainty. Likewise, this is what verse 11 says, likewise, reckon yourselves, that word reckon is the word consider, which is the bank accountancy. Reckon yourselves to be what? Live the new life. You're dead to sin. The self-image, mate, doesn't hang on you. It doesn't matter how you look, son. God loves you the way you are. Consider that a fact. Reckon that to be a fact. You don't have to put on the world's image. Because you've got the image of Jesus now. You are in. We are in. I'd rather be in Christ than in the image of the world. Hallelujah. How many of you, though, not only know it, have considered it, reckon it to be a mathematical fact? I've got to finish. It's 12 o'clock. How do I know what I consider that I'm in Jesus? Because I believe what God says about me. I'm sorry, if you do not believe what God says about you, you are not reckoning in Christ. I'm not saying you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you do not believe in yourself, that God is in you, you are not reckoning yourselves or considering yourself in Christ. And I'm going to tell you bluntly this morning, because I want you to all buy into grace. Because when grace enters your life, man, it's going to set you free. You're not going to worry about the people next to you. Your only concern will be, am I pleasing my Father? Am I doing what Father wants me to do? Because I am in Christ. And I'll tell you what else it'll make you do. It'll make you want to give generously. I'm serious. It'll want to make you to give generously. It'll make you want to love your brothers and sisters. It'll make you want to buy into what's going on in the church. It'll all stream. You won't have to work at it. It will flow. Because you understand grace. I'm in Christ Jesus. I can be in no better place. I can't be anywhere better. He's promised to look after me financially. He's promised to look after me healthily. He's promised to look after me in every area of my life. God has promised me this. I'm in the best place in the world. I can take it to the bank. I can account on it. I reckon it to be a fact. I believe it. I don't just know it, I believe it. I must finish. Thirdly, present yourself. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. How do I present myself each day at work? Am I a positive person? I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm not perfect. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm a new person. God has promised to give me everything that he wants to give me. I don't think it's a fact. I know it's a fact. I reckon it to be so. Therefore, I want to please you, Father, today. Father, what do you want to do in my life today? And I'm going to present Jesus, because he is the one that I've come to love and understand with grace. And I don't have to go up to somebody and start preaching a gospel sermon. I don't do that. I'd be friendly with people and be normal. God wants me to be normal. But because I'm under grace, when the opportunity comes out, it'll just suddenly doors of opportunity will come. I don't have to force doors, brothers and sisters. You don't have to force doors when you're under grace. Grace shines. So, three things we've learned this morning as we finished. We should know. We should be counting it and reckoning it a fact in verse 11. And verse 13, we should present in our bodies daily to Jesus. Sin has no longer dominion over you. You cannot say, I can't stop sinning. Jesus says, you can. Sin has no longer dominion over you. Because if you keep saying that, Eddie, you're living in the old style. The new style of life says, I can have victory every day through Jesus. And I gave you a prayer a few weeks ago to put on, a prayer for you to say every morning. You can have victory every day in Jesus. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said, let not sin have dominion over you. Wouldn't say something that's not true. So finally, is that all there is? No, there's one more. And this is the key for the whole of grace. This bit here. If you've got that off there this morning, are you willing to act on God's truth with complete dependence on him to perform it? Or are you saying, I am happy to act on God's truth with complete dependence on Eddie Lawrence to perform and help God out today? Because if I say that, God will say, you've got absolutely no chance of grace. Grace is saying that I'm completely dependent upon Jesus. And I hope this morning, as I'm finished now, it's 12:05, we've only been 5 minutes extra. I hope this morning that you can honestly say you're completely dependent upon God. If you're out of a job this morning, you're completely dependent upon God to open doors this morning. That doesn't mean to say you lie in bed all day. It means to say you try and obviously get a job, but you know that the person who's in control of this whole situation is God. I'm in complete dependence on him. Now, it took him a year to sort me out in the job front. It didn't come overnight, but he kept me and he fed me and he clothed me every time and every day until I got a job. I can testify the goodness of God. I can testify that God is real because I've seen it in my life. I've seen to have no food on the table and God has provided out of nowhere. God has provided. I've seen God pay my electric bills and my gas bills when I was out of work for a year. I was not a Scooby-Doo, but God provided. I had no carpets on the floor. I didn't need them, said God. You've got a floor, that's good enough. But you do need food in your belly. Had to sell the mini. That was something I had to do. I had to sell my mini. No good me asking God for stuff. He'd be saying, well, you've got an asset there. I'm sorry, it has to go. But at the end of the day, God provided all my needs in Christ Jesus. Why? Because when you get to your life when it's so low, you have no money. You have no job. You're walking around the streets trying to get people to give you a job. When you get to the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, then sometimes it takes us to cry out to God. Friend, all I can say is try Jesus for yourself. I've proven he exists in my life. I know him. I reckon on him. I am presenting him as much as I can in my daily life. But I'm totally dependent on his outrageous grace. Friend, where is your self-image this morning? Where is your dependence? Last week, we ended with Hill asking us, when he spoke on the foundation, where is your foundation? Well, where is it? Do you know Jesus Christ? Can he say you are a new creation? Can he honestly say you are in him? If you can, stop living in the old way of life. God cannot abide that way of life because that's why he made you new. In Jesus' precious and worthy name. So does the way we view ourselves affect the way we live? Does it look at the board? Does the way we view ourselves affect the way we live? You bet it does.